Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Welcome to the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app and use the code CHGO when you sign up. Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, Cody Del Mendo on a chilly Monday in Chicago. And we got lots to talk about because, guys, it looks like some of this will start to heat up because of Rule 5 rosters and all that stuff in the next 24 hours. We'll see. I see Shane, first one in the chat, always.
Always. He's always the first one.
Yeah, right. If you're listening to this later, just on a podcast download, make sure you check us out on the YouTube live at 1:20 sometime. You can join the chat. It's a lot of fun. Become part of the show. We've got a little family we've got brewing over there, right? We got lots of people that are regulars in the group. One of our family did not make the tailgate yesterday, Cody, and it was not me, and it was not you. Ryan, what gifts? We were
very upset. It was just under the weather. Still don't feel too great. You know, it was probably best not to go.
No, it was cold.
just a little under the weather. Just did not make it. But
I'll believe the next one. I'll choose to believe this one.
Even if I'm under weather to the next one, it's Bears Packers. So you know I'm gonna have to be there. Like, no doubt about it. It's gonna be even colder too.
December 4th. I mean, it could be colder. I mean, I'm hoping for one of those strange December days where it's like 50 or something. Yeah. But you haven't heard, Ryan, you haven't heard the most amazing story the whole weekend.
Is it the phone?
It's unbelievable.
Okay. I need to hear the whole story, but
real quickly, we'll get to all the free agency stuff. In fact, we're also going to do a confidence pool ranking our confidence in off-season moves for the Cubs, and then it'll be a total of 55 points. But the story goes from the tailgate. I got there at 8:30 in the morning. It was still cold. They were, you know, everything was set up. Jake was grilling the brats and the Italian sausage. We had donuts from stands out. We had, you know, everything was set. And all of a sudden, the propane goes out on one of the tanks for one of the flat-top grills. Jake's like, "We need propane." I'm like, "All right, I'm on it." So I jump in my car. I drive down Roosevelt. And I find a Home Depot, like maybe 2 miles away, like Canal and Roosevelt. I go in, I get the propane, yada, yada, yada. I come back, and before I come back, I've got like 15 layers on. I'm doing one of these, like, where's my iPhone? Where's my phone? Can't find it. I went back into the Home Depot. They didn't have it. I'm searching my car. I'm turning the car upside down. I'm looking between the seats. Can't find it anywhere. Finally, I'm like, "All right, that's it. This trip's going to cost me an iPhone and $150 in propane." So I drive all the way back to the tailgate, 2 miles. And by the way, when I left the gravel parking lot at the tailgate, I fishtailed out of there just to show off a little bit. And so I get to the Roosevelt and Michigan, and I look at my stereo, and the Bluetooth is connecting to music on my phone. And I'm like, is that stuck from when I was driving in this morning from Arlington Heights? What's going on? Then all of a sudden something pops into me, and I'm like, wait a minute. When I got out of the car this morning, did I set my phone on the roof when I was getting my hot tea out of the car? And so I pull up to Kyle Williams. Kyle was taking the tickets for like people coming in. And I'm like, Kyle, I didn't want to drive another foot. I'm like, Kyle, is there a phone on my roof? And he's like, what? I'm like, is there a phone on my roof? He's like, yeah, there's cell phone. I'm like, there's a cell phone on my roof? I drove 2 miles to Home Depot and back, and my phone was still on the roof of my car when I got back to the parking lot. If you don't believe in miracles, forget the Olympic team beating the Russians once. This was the miracle of all miracles. A cell phone sticking to the roof of a car, driving on Chicago streets.
We'll be talking about this in 5 years. We'll be like, remember when Stucky's phone stuck to his roof? I mean that phone was built different.
All I could have on there, sticky stuff? Was it frozen to the roof? I don't know how.
You had spider tack on it.
You had spider tack on it, didn't you? You had it on your hands, and it just came off onto the phone before you put it down.
The rubber, I will never, again, every single case I buy will always have the rubbery kind of like silicone. I think that's what saved me. What a miracle. I said I should have just gone to bed right there. I should have left. Should have left the tailgate and gone to bed and called it a day because it wasn't going to get better than that. And sure enough, the Bears blew it, and that lived out to be true. Anyways, we had a good time. Hopefully, we'll all be there for the
time. It was cold, but not as windy this time.
I think it was better, good. Cody. Because it wasn't as windy and I expected it to be cold, I was kind of ready for it.
Yeah.
Cody was dancing. He was putting out the dance moves. People were all over the dance floor out
there. I was talking to Chris, our sales guy. And next thing I know, the Cupid Shuffle comes on, and I had no choice. I was put under pressure. I had no choice.
Did Cody dance battle Raiders guy? That's what I want to know.
Raiders guy was not there, but there was a lot of dancing going on. There were people breaking into dance, multiple different songs. Randomly, people would be over there dancing. I was like, what's going on? Like.
I love Brandon's comment. He says Luke's phone has that dog in it.
I'm telling you, that's just of all the different ways you can lose your phone on the roof of a car, you're almost never coming back from that one.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, no. But there's just like,
I just love how I've it even got on your roof to begin with. It's such a you thing. I feel like you,
I mean,
you probably had to put something in your car and you sat on it. Instead of putting in your pocket, you put it under the roof of your car.
Yeah. When I did it, I was thinking about it later in the day. I'm like, when I did it, I thought to myself, this is a bad idea, but I got to put it there for a second. And sure enough.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, let's get to the free agency stuff because there's been a lot going on. I mean, the Cubs made those roster adjustments, right?
Yeah, we got 47. Might as well be 50 people in chat. Oh, there's 51. Got a lot of comments already. So
hit the like button.
Yeah,
only 10 have liked.
I think there's a chance we have an emergency podcast this week at some point. Based on a signing or a trade. John Morosi has been really peppering Twitter right now. JP Morosi. Mm-hmm. One of them saying that the Rays have engaged in, quote, advanced trade negotiations ahead of the roster setting situation for Rule 5 draft coming on Tuesday. He mentions the Mets, the Cubs, the Reds, and the Angels looking into pitching from the Rays. I don't know who else it could be other than Tyler Glass now. Does that excite you, or do you think that's definitely the target the Cubs are asking about?
Well,
I mean,
I'll just say that, I think Tyler Glasnow is more of like the dream. Like, that's what we all want, or what we like. I feel like that would be the best thing that would come out of that, but I'm not necessarily sold that that's what the Cubs have been talking to them about. I would, my level headed thinking is, probably a reliever that we've never heard of. And
no, we don't want that.
I tweeted last night, Tyler Glasnow, you are a Cub, like all the 12-year-olds on Twitter do. Okay. Like I would love if it was Tyler Glasnow, right? But I did see that our friend of the program, Greg Zumak, he did I don't know what the website's called, but he did like it's kind of like the trade machine for like NBA, but it's for MLB. And like he did it for Tyler Glasnow from the Rays coming to the Cubs. And it said that it'd be another similar move of trading Keegan Thompson and Christopher Morel. I think that's what it showed in the graphic. You have to go look at the tweet, but perhaps another trade like that, if the Cubs were going to trade for a guy like Glasnow, which, it's a lot of upside there, but also a lot of risk.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming off Tommy John, right, Ryan? Like, he had August of 21 was his Tommy John surgery. But when he's right, now you're talking about a frontline starter possibly.
Yeah, when he's right, he's a really, really good pitcher. And we know that. I was going to add in McClanahan would also be like a dream if you're talking about the Rays. Like, I would say if one of them were to be traded, is probably Glasnow, like more likely to be Glasnow. But McClanahan is also up there because he's a really good pitcher too, and he's younger. So that's why I think he's probably less likely to be traded, because he's younger. But Glasnow would be great. And yeah, like Luke said, that's like, that's when you're kind of getting up to like, okay, this is our at least a number two pitcher. When he's at his best, he may be even a one. He's not probably not Rodon, Scherzer, Kershaw level ace number one, but if he's your number one, you back him up with a really good 2, 3, 4, 5, then you got a good rotation right there. So Glasnow would be a really good pickup. I'm curious to see what it would take to get him from the Rays, but if the Cubs are inquiring about him, that I guess we don't know that they are inquiring about him, but you definitely hope they are, right? Like you hope the Cubs, when they're looking for a top of the line starting pitcher, a number one, you know, those two guys, but specifically Glasnow, are definitely good options to at least kick the tires on and see what it would take to acquire them.
The people in the chat are correcting me. It's Glasnow and Margot for Morel and Thompson, and I guess the website's called Baseball Trade Values. Thank you, Sean.
Well, he's 29, and I believe they just re-signed him through 24. I think his contract goes through 24. So if you did trade for him, you'd have him for at least two seasons. Now, Morel and Thompson, he is a top-line starter. But, again, you got a guy that only pitched two games last year. You know, so it's not like Tommy John doesn't totally terrify me, because sometimes guys come back from Tommy John even better than they were before. It's almost expected for a pitcher nowadays that at some point from high school to the pros that at some point they're going to have Tommy John surgery. But – I don't know. Would I give that up for him? Probably.
You get there's a 1 year extension on there too, so it's not even just for 1 year. You get him for 2 years.
Right. You get him 23, 24. So
again, it's a risk. It definitely is a risk. But he's shown to be great. I mean, the fact that the Rays even have him to begin with is just it's not even them. It's like the Pirates are just that stupid. It's one of the worst trades of modern MLB history, at least in the last 5 years. And like, yeah, he before having to have Tommy John, he was shoving for them. Like he's totally worth that. Like if we had to move Thompson and Morel, and you're getting him and another guy back, like I feel like I think that's fair. Cause again, I just think there's so much upside with him. With him still being young, and again, it doesn't work out well. At least it's not like for 5 years; it's 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, and how do you if it's Thompson and Morel? Like, do you believe that those guys are going to even reach somewhere near the peak of like what Tyler Glasnow even is? Like, I have a lot of belief in Morel being like a really good baseball player for sure, and the fact that he's young helps that. Thompson, he's, you know, 27, 28, whatever, right? And, like, we've gone back and forth on whether he's a starter or a reliever, but, like, Tyler Glasnow is a surefire number one starter, like, when he's healthy. And with how things are today, like, people come off Tommy John and get back to form all the time now. It's not even, like, a rarity. It's like expected now at this point. It's not like it was when I was a kid or when Ryan was a kid, like, with how, like, medicine is and shit now. Like, I don't know, like – if that trade was offered, I would be like, I'd be taking a hard look at it in consideration. It wouldn't be an automatic like no for me.
No, I'd be interested in it too. And then it, you know, what's the trickle down effect of it? Let's say you do give up Morel and Thompson or whoever it might be, and you make the trade, but you add Glasnow. Does that now mean because you've traded assets and not money to get Glasnow? Does that now? What if you added Senga on top of that? What if Glasnow and Senga were two additions that you added your rotation? Or on the flip side, does that, now that you have Glasnow and, you know, Hendricks is coming back, can you go cheaper with the next pitcher and then dump all the money into free agency and one of the shortstops? Because JP Morosi claims again, like the Cubs are active in this hunt for one of these shortstops, and we're waiting for that first domino to go. And I keep saying, I said it again on Twitter, like I want them to be the first domino. I don't want them to be the fourth domino, because if they're the fourth domino, you know, they're getting the player that the other three teams didn't want. Not because he's a bad player, but I just don't want the Cubs to be the reactionary team all the time. I want them to force the narrative sometimes. And so let's see what's going on with these shortstops, if they really are active in the shortstop market. And I don't know when that's coming. Cody, we talked about it at the tailgate. Like, I don't know. Are we going to wait all the way till the winter meetings? Are we going to wait a couple weeks before one of these shortstop signs, or will somebody aggressively go out and get one of them? I don't know.
It's interesting because I just feel like it's going to be Boris, you know, especially with Correa and Bogarts. He's just going to keep, you know, saying what he's saying and try to increase as much money as possible. You know, it's just what he does. But again, the Cubs are in a position where, like, that shouldn't even be an issue, in my opinion. So I guess it just comes down to which one they want most. Like, at this point, I don't know which one they want most. It feels like Gray is number one for them. But, like, if he is, then like you said, Luke, you think that we should be doing an emergency podcast this week? Well, then, like, get him already. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know where the market is right now. Just all we have is tweets from John Morosi and, you know, all the sources from Gordon Whitmire when he was out there too, saying that, you know, the Cubs are active in the shortstop market and they're, you know, they talked to Scott Boras about Bogarts and Correa. Like, to me, I'm with you, Luke. Like I said last week, like, the Cubs need to set the tone for the offseason. They should be going to get someone. And if it's not the shortstop, then sign a Josh Bell or a Jose Abreu. Like, sign someone. Like, thankfully, nothing has really happened. Nothing really happened over the weekend, so I can't, like, yell at the Cubs for just sitting on their hands, because everyone's sitting on their hands. But, like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we're waiting until the winter meetings.
Hey, yeah, Shane is right.
Yeah, I knew you.
I just got word the Cubs officially granted Jason Hayward his release. So that will, for one, that brings the 40-man roster down to 33. But it is a move we've been expecting. I know Corey was asking me why they hadn't done it on, like, Friday. But I mean, with like the Rule 5 protection deadline, you know, setting your 40-man, all that stuff, that comes tomorrow. The Cubs, you know, a day ahead of time, have officially granted Jason Hayward his release. And I know, like, it kind of ties into what we're talking about, why the Rays are looking to trade players, right? It's this whole 40-man crunch. Jason Hayward wasn't going to be someone that lasted through this offseason. Like, we knew that. We knew he was getting the release. Jed talked about it. Jason Hayward talked about it at the end of the season. But, yeah, so that – yeah, sorry. I was very distracted while you guys were talking, so I'm not sure where we were at. But that is that is the news that we've – that's the news that we've gotten.
What is it, like, now? $22 million they still have to pay him next season not to play, right?
Something like that, yeah, 22. Yeah.
And Glasnow is like a $25 million extension. Basically, it's almost the same contract for a seat. I mean, that's – listen, everybody understands that it's the right move to pay the money and walk away. But
– and the Cubs can
– factor in that they've spent $22 million this offseason already.
Yeah.
Not that that's enough, but I'm just saying, like, they are factoring it in, so you know we should.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But either way, it shouldn't affect how they go about things. It absolutely should not.
Agreed. Yeah. And it frees up a spot in the outfield, which we know, you know, they're going to be active there too. They need a center fielder, and we're going to get into, again, in the next segment, we'll rank our confidence pool as if we were picking NFL games 1 through 10, 10 being the most points, got to take each number has to be used. Where do we rank where we're confident in what the Cubs will do this offseason players at? And I badly missed one, and it's bugging me that I missed it, because I was the first one to put it out, and I sent it into the Slack message for the graphics guys, and I definitely missed one. I feel bad.
There was one that me and Cody both had. I had already had it at the top. I'm like, oh, both of them are going to forget it. I'm going to be the only one that gets it. And all of a sudden I see Cody with it too. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. I forgot it. What about the Morosi posting about Kodai Senga? Kind of an update on it. Like, he did a hit on MLB Network, and when he listed his five teams that are interested in talking to his agent, it was the Angels, the Dodgers, the Mariners, the Rangers, and the Blue Jays. No mention of the Cubs this time. Now, we think the Cubs are interested. We know nice things have been said. And this has been a guy that seems to be kind of a link to the Cubs over and over. But, you know, the reason teams are super excited about him, Morosi points out, At the worst case scenario, he believes he's a two or a three. But there is potential for him to be somebody's ace depending on the team. So, you know, I look at the Cubs and I'm like, well, there's no reason he couldn't be a two, especially if you don't get Glass now. Like, there's no reason. Is it possible that he throws harder than I thought? I saw it like a 96 for a fastball in some of the video. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, he's not just all soft stuff. And no posting fee. So no draft picks. And it's a guy that you hope turns into Shohei Ohtani or somebody like that, at least the pitcher part of it, right? Like, I don't know. Where are you? Is your confidence damaged by the fact that Morosi didn't list the Cubs in the top five talking to him?
No.
Okay.
No, not with the steam that's been coming around all season, even during the season. And also Robert Murray, you know, put out like ranking in the top 25 free agents. And he mentioned that Senga was part of it or part of, or the Cubs that were, he listed the Cubs and Giants who Morosi didn't say. And this isn't against Morosi. I will always use Morosi as a reason to believe that something might happen. But in that instance, that moment in that video that is on the internet, no, I'm not using it. I don't, it hasn't changed my mind or took me completely off the thought of the Cubs getting him. So,
no, you were focused on Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan most of the morning, you know, trying to figure out
one of the more bizarre stories and of today. Maybe the week.
I think that came out a while ago, though, didn't it?
It has been out for, like, they keep denying it, saying they're just friends. First it was at a concert, and they just went to a concert. Then they were shown kind of, like, snuggling somewhere, and everybody's like, oh, really? Now they're on the beach, and he's definitely not just snuggling. Yeah.
But as far as
Coda, I would love to be on a fly on the wall and what Scottie Pippen thinks of that and what Michael Jordan thinks of that.
Or just them in a room talking about it or something. Like, anyway, but as it goes to Kodai Senga, yeah, it was weird. I mean, I sent you guys that video of Morosi talking, and to not have said the Cubs was a little shocking to me. I was like, from everything we've heard, the rumors, like, the Cubs were in on him pretty quickly. But there's also probably a bunch of teams that are in on Kodai Senga and trying to woo him. We saw something about the Giants having like a Kodai Senga picture on their scoreboard or something like that, a video board over there. So maybe that's tells you something. The Giants are obviously recruiting him. No, I don't think for Morosi to not have said the Cubs means the Cubs are completely out on Senga. It was just like weird that like I was like I watched the video and I listened. I'm like, did he not say the Cubs? Like, did he not? Okay,
I mean, he mentioned five teams and didn't mention the Cubs. It's not like he named like the two teams that are super hot on him right now or something like that. He mentioned five major league teams and didn't put the Cubs on that list.
Yeah. I don't know.
That part of it makes me think it's cooled off a little bit.
It might have. Like, that's definitely a possibility. I also just think, like I said, there could be half the league is in on Kodai Senga, and that's just who Morosi. That could just be who Morosi's heard from most recently, you know.
Yeah,
like mm-hmm. that could be it. So I don't. I mean, I don't know that I don't put any stock in it. I just wouldn't put too much as far as like that. That doesn't tell me the Cubs are definitely not getting Kodai Senga. That's for sure. Like if anyone taken from that the Cubs are out, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, you could use other free agents to like. You know, as an example, not necessarily from Morosi, but like, I don't know, like we sat here and talked about the free agent pitchers out there all season. And like the Cubs aren't mentioned in anything that has to do with Carlos Rodon or Jacob DeGrom. So.
Yeah, no, I've heard basically Rodon's not even a possibility. Like they've already decided that's more than they want for Carlos Rodon.
But what I'm saying is like, who knows, like maybe a random dark horse comes in, you know what I mean? Like that's just what the nature of free agency is. You know, I feel like the Cubs getting Senga would be very beneficial and there's a lot of good things to like about it. But at the same time, I also won't be like heartbroken if they don't get him. I will be heartbroken if they do not get one of the top four shortstops. I'd even be heartbroken if they missed on Dansby Swanson. As much as like the discourse of Dansby Swanson over the course of the weekend has basically turned him into basically being a shortstop version of Jason Hayward. As far as what I've read on social media is, which is, I mean, in a way, I guess you can kind of like use some comparisons, but I mean, the Cubs have to get one of those four guys. And I think that's, to me, that's priority number one, in my opinion. So we're going to see.
Agreed. And by the way, back to the, just for 1 second, I forgot to mention in the Glasnow conversation, I was thinking, well, all right, if you lose Keegan Thompson, we've talked about what a great role he'd be coming out of the bullpen. He could be a total weapon. Yeah, but you could also give that role to Wesneski this year too. If you like, maybe that's why he's become a name that's popular. Well, first of all, teams are interested because of what they saw. So teams are going to ask about players that they're interested in. So Morrell and Thompson would be two. Steele would be another. But I would assume he'd be the one they would not want to trade if they didn't have to out of that group of three. So, Ryan, Shady Rays, yeah. You know, I mean, I feel like it was a sunny day. It looks like the clouds had come out here in Arlington Heights, you know, like back to my weather days.
Yeah. I see a little sun peeking out of my window.
There's sun
a little
here.
Bit. I don't know. Was
still
was,
sunny.
Was there any sun at the tailgate yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once it came over the building, you know, the building blocks the sun.
From oh man, that building's unbelievable. Yeah. The last time when last week when it was like it was windy and cold and the sun was getting blocked, it was like there was no help, no help from the elements at all. But when the sun does peek out and you're at the next Bears tailgate, you might want to make sure you have Shady Rays. Shady Rays never understood why sunglasses were so expensive, so they set out to change it. You don't have to break the bank for quality sunglasses this fall because our friends at Shady Rays have you covered. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. The best part about Shady Rays, they have the most insane protection program in all of eyewear, the lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You drop them off a lake, drop them off a cliff. Even if you leave them on, you know, the roof of your car as you're driving to Home Depot to get a new propane tank, anything, they'll replace them. Even with that strong of a protection program, they still manage to make quality that I can tell you, holding in my hand, seem just as good as any expensive pair that I have ever worn. Shady Rays customers seem to agree with over 200,000 five-star reviews. Shady Rays also provides 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order placed and have donated over 20 million meals to date. They stand behind their product and told our team that if anyone has a problem, they throw profit out the window to do what it takes to get it right. Free returns and exchanges. You either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. That's it. And exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is running their deepest deal of the season. Use code CHGO for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. Buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs for as low as $54. Remember that code is CHGO. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com where you can find all their newest and best shades.
Very good. And our next partner is a product I use, you know, every day, AG1, because I didn't have time, wanted better gut health, more energy, and optimized immune system. Now I've been on it since April, and I love it. It doesn't taste super healthy, but it is super healthy. Instead, it's got a mild tropical taste that I look forward to taking in the morning. Here's what it is. One scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. A special blend of ingredients supporting your gut health, your nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, aging, all those things. Ryan, if you're under the weather, AG1 will get it done. A noticeable boost of energy, so I take it first thing in the morning. Lifestyle friendly, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, you're all good with AG1. You're investing in all-in-one nutritional insurance for less than $3 a day, recommended by professional athletes, and more than 7,000 five-star reviews. So right now, reclaim your health, arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. You don't need a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs. Again, athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs. Take ownership over your health. Pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Who we say in the chat? I saw some.
A lot of people arguing about Dansby Swanson.
Yeah, whether or not he's legit. G-Wit saying it's been a minute since he checked in. Where you been, man?
G-Wit also asked, is there, he said, is, I forget, is there a posting fee for Senga? No posting fee. He's officially a free agent versus obviously teams. Because what is it? Like, that's just basically NPB releasing players to go to MLB, right? But they're like, oh wait, we need money back. That's pretty much a buyout, right?
Yeah, he's paid long. He's paid, or he's played long enough that you don't have to pay the league for him to leave it.
Yeah.
So he's kind of earned that right to leave without costing a major league team that posting fee, and there's no draft pick compensation either. So that's like, that's why. So not only is he a good player, but financially, it's easier to do it than some of the other players that come from Japan. So that's why a lot of teams are in on him, or at least kicking the tires.
Shane asked real quickly a couple minutes ago, the Cubs are at – so he asked, are the Cubs at 33 or 34 as far as players in the 40-man? My last count, they're at 33. I believe, like, the Cubs.com has them at 34, but they also include Alexander Vizcaino in there, who we know is still on the restricted list. So wouldn't count against the 40-man.
Well, over the weekend, I saw on Twitter over the weekend, one of the Cubs prospect guys out there, he just tweeted a screenshot of Vizcaino's, like, player profile on, like, I guess, like, whatever the minor league website is. And it said that he was active now. So, like, I don't know. And I could be wrong.
Yeah,
sorry, I mean, for pushing fake information if I am.
Yeah, as far as we know and as far as we've been told, he is still on the restricted list. So you're pushing fake news, Cody.
Well, I'm taking it from a source that's very knowledgeable about the minor leagues, more so than I am. So shout out to Todd.
I saw a little Yumper also say, hey, Morosi didn't even mention Senga and the Cubs, and that's what we were just talking about, like, it was odd that he mentioned five teams and didn't even mention the Cubs. And so does that mean anything? We don't know.
Yeah, I will say to that also, someone earlier in the chat said something that, like, the Cubs will be in on Senga until he signs because of the relationship with his agent. And I agree. I think that's actually a good point because obviously the agent, he shares the same agent with Seiya Suzuki, who's another, like, he may just keep recruiting Kodai and Senga until the end. Until he's officially not signing with the Cubs, because he would obviously like him to be there. But he also shares an agent with, like, Nick Madrigal. So there's a relationship there between, I think it's Wasserman is the name of the agency, and the Cubs, obviously. So there's something there. And I would agree that if Kodai is still not signed, the Cubs will keep reaching out to his agent, because that's a guy that they may want really badly.
It's also possible that the Cubs have had that conversation because they know the agent well and have said, we understand if you're not ready to take this offer now, go get your offers before you accept anything, come back to us and at least let us have a conversation. You know, like, that happens a lot where teams have that initial conversation at the GM meetings and the agent wants to explore everything. So he gives it a few more weeks. And just because he wouldn't be one of the five teams that was currently having a conversation or talking, like Ryan was saying earlier, doesn't mean that the Cubs haven't had the conversation and the agent knows, hey, eventually I have to go back and tell the Cubs what's going on. So don't give up hope on Kodai Senga if you're really into him.
Shane says the Cubs website does show Vizcaino is on the active list.
And that's what I'm saying, that we were told that he's still on the restricted list.
Oh, so, okay.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
All right. Well, there, you explained it a little bit more. You know how I am with this roster shit. Like, I'm awful with it.
Yeah,
I don't know nothing.
But there we go. So
it's not part of Delmetrics.
No.
It's just not a factor in it.
No. It should be down to 33.
I just wish it was so much easier to, like, understand and process. Like, I don't know. Like, you give me a 40-man, and then you got all these other mans, and I'm like, just put them all on one thing. There you go. That's my opinion.
By the way, we mentioned prospects earlier. Tomorrow, Corey Friedman and Greg Huss will be calling in too, right? So we'll talk prospects. Corey actually held a white claw for Cody yesterday for probably 45 minutes at some point before he set it down. He said, hold my White Claw. I'll be back. And then Cody just disappeared. We're like, where'd he go? He was thawing.
Was he dancing? Was he dancing?
I went to warm up.
I went to the bathroom.
45 minutes later, he comes back. Where's my White Claw? We're like,
in that like coffee shop that's like right next to where the tailgate is. Yeah.
And Brian's saying, agree with you, Cody. The roster rules are too confusing. For
sure.
They
are.
Like that's why being a GM, there's more to it than fantasy. Mm-hmm. Fantasy baseball and fantasy football players and stuff. Like there's just so much more. And that's the way in every other sport too. Like there's so much manipulating that they have to do with numbers and numbers crunching that almost every team certainly now has numbers guys that have to run those numbers and know what's going on with all that stuff to help the GM out. All right, let's get to our confidence pool in Cubs offseason moves. So we're ranking them 1 to 10. Our 10 players that we think the Cubs might make moves on. We each came up with our own list. One is the least confident. If this guy gets signed or traded to the Cubs this offseason, you get the point, the number associated with it in points. So I tried to do my Valpo math, and I think that's a total of 55 points if you got 1 through 10. I don't know if that's right or not, but don't hold me to it. I'm just saying. 55, 1 through 10. I went through the calculator like 10 different times. It came back 55 at least 7 of those times. So 70% of the time, 70% of the time on my Valpo calculator, that is 55 points for the total.
I also got 55, so I think we're good.
I got a 57 and a 53 Luke, too, so I
– Luke went to the Duke of the Midwest, so I mean, right, clearly this is all right.
Dominant basketball school.
My goodness.
All right, so let's do 1 through 5 first. Who wants to go first with their 1 through 5 pointer? So this
I'll
is
go first. Kinda,
these are guys you think the Cubs might be in on, but you're not as confident as your next five will be.
Okay. Okay, so number one, I have Archie Bradley. And here, I'll just list them and then I'll go into it. So number one, I have Archie Bradley. Two, I have Dansby Swanson. Three, Cody Bellinger. Four, Xander Bogaerts. And then 5, Carlos Correa. So I guess the two shortstops, I'm just in the middle ground. Like, I think they're the priority. I think they need to go get one of them. But given recent history, it's hard for me to just fully believe that they're going to automatically get one of them. So when it comes to that, Michael Chiodo, I'm with you. Like, I get it. We've been hurt way too many times. So yeah, they have actions speak louder than words. So that's why I have those three shortstops in my bottom five more so than in the top. So, and then I listed Archie Bradley number one as as someone who could, but like, I don't necessarily believe it only because I think he's coming off injury and he has a history of being a really good reliever. And the Cubs have known to go get guys like that. Like David Robertson was like a guy like that. I think he only pitched like 18 innings last season. So I'm assuming he got hurt. I think that's what happened. And I was just trying to find a reliever that I figured you two wouldn't put in there. So I just chose something different. He does kind of look like someone the Cubs would go after just for the, you know, of how they build bullpens. So, yeah, I think and Bellinger, obviously, like I would rather have him over Kiermaier, but it depends on if the Dodgers, non-tender him a contract or not. You know what I mean? So I think he would be a great fit as a platoon option in the outfield with Brandon Davis or whoever. But I'm not like super confident about it. It's just something that I would like to see happen. So I guess Correa would be the one that I think is more likely to happen out of those five. But again, I'm with you, Michael Chiodo. Like, actions speak louder than words. Prove, like, show us. So,
Cody's all right, Ryan, who's your 1 through 5? So these are guys you think the Cubs might make a play for either with a trade or free agency, but you're not as confident in what it would be compared to your next five.
Yeah. My top 10, well, I guess my top five. So it'd be like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, right? Is that how we do it?
One is what you like the least
confident. Because if you get it right, you only get 1 point. So that you would put your least amount of confidence into your number one.
So I'm going from my top most confident. It's pretty similar to, I know Cody's just said his. It's fairly similar. I have Drew Smyly at number 10. I know
that's company. That's your most confident. Yeah, you're going. You're going out of you're order here. But all right. Here.
Okay.
You're going backwards.
Wait. So we're going. Wait. So you want
we're
me?
Doing
to go
one through
bottom?
Five.
We're doing one. Okay. You want me to go one through five? Okay.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I was confused about. Okay.
this is Missouri math here. What's going on here?
All right. I go one through five.
You
right
are
now.
Feeling under the weather.
So my least confident pick, I guess. Number one, I put Omar Narvaez.
Okay.
Catcher. Cubs are still interested. I think the Cubs should be interested in a catcher. I don't know that PJ and Jan are you go into next season confident that those two will be your top two catchers for a playoff team. I think Omar Narvaez would be a good addition to that. And then I also just don't think that Wilson's coming back. I think that, you know, that time is done. He will eventually reject the qualifying offer, become a free agent. I don't see the Cubs bringing him back. So, you know, enter Omar Narvaez. That's a three catcher rotation right there, but I'm also just not that confident in it. I think that could happen, but I wouldn't put my money on it. So it goes Narvaez. I had David Robertson for obvious reasons. He fit in well last year, was a really good pitcher, fits in again next year, I think, in this bullpen. Veteran guy, back end guy, could fit in, slot in really well, honestly, with like Brandon Hughes. I think they would see Brandon Hughes as a back end reliever now, and he's a lefty. Then you got a righty and Robertson. But relievers are very tricky, and there's a lot of them, so who knows if they bring back Robertson or not. Then I rounded it out with three. My three is Bellinger, four is Swanson, and five is Bogarts. And Bellinger, we still got to even see if he stays with the Dodgers, right? Like, he still has to get released at some point before he becomes a free agent. But I think we're assuming he does, and then – like we talked about a couple weeks ago on the show, like that would be a good flyer in my opinion to take Bellinger center field, also can play some first base here and there. And then Swanson and Bogarts, I think are like the third and second most likely, or like if I'm the Cubs, those are my two and three at this point. Cause it feels like Turner's not going to end up coming to the Cubs. It feels like the rumors have started to move elsewhere. But those two are right there as far as like, if they don't get, the guy I think is the number one shortstop, then those are probably the two and three, Bogarts and Swanson.
Brian G says, this is more confusing than the roster rules. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
What is confused? Only Ryan was confused by this. What is confusing? Have you never done a confidence pool for the NFL? I've been doing them since 1980.
No, I know what the confidence pool is. I
filled these things out when I was a freshman in high school in 86, for God's sake. Like,
I know what the confidence pool is. I didn't understand the way you wanted me to go through them.
Oh, you didn't understand that we wanted to start least confident.
The bottom. Why would you start at the least bottom? At least confident. I want to be confident off the bat.
Well, because then it's like the excitement level starts to drop, right? If you start.
All right.
I don't know.
I ranked them in order.
Ryan says Ryan confused me.
Go check the Slack. I had the order correctly. I just didn't know you wanted me to start from the bottom. I was confused on that.
All right.
And I already.
My one through five. A lot of the same reasons. Like I. David Robertson is my one because I'm not sure that reunion is happening, but they do need a reliever. So I thought, all right, I'll at least give it a point. So I've got one. I went Dansby Swanson as my number two. I think he's the least likely shortstop, unlike Collado, who probably thinks he's the most likely. I think he's the least likely, although the chat arguing about him, everybody's been saying he's got more home runs than the other three. So there is power there, which is something the Cubs are looking for. I put Cody Bellinger three because it would take more steps to get him to Wrigley Field. First of all, it would take the Dodgers letting him go. And frankly, I don't think the Dodgers are eventually. I know there's been rumors of it. I just don't think he's actually going to leave LA. My four is a guy I don't think you guys have. And I put him in there because the Cubs still need a first baseman. And I think if the Abreu thing is all smoke, that Josh Bell might be a possibility. So I put Bell as my number four. And my fifth point, I probably should have flipped four and five, but I put Trey Turner number five. I don't think he's super likely. For me, he's a guy I would want. He's either one or two in my wish list. But I think the confidence I have in that happening, that Trey Turner ends up here, especially because today I was reading reports saying that he wants like an 8 or 9 year deal. And I just don't see the Cubs ever giving out an 8 or 9 year deal. Not to a guy who's not a top three player in baseball. Maybe you give that to like Shohei, but you're not giving an 8 or 9 year. I don't think they will. Call me crazy. So that's why I put Turner at 5. I probably should have put Turner at like 2 or 3, because we know they need a shortstop. But I'm not, if he's asking for 8 or 9 years, I could see the Cubs bailing out of that conversation real quickly.
Mm-hmm. I don't even have Turner in my 10.
Yeah, is that why you think it's just going to be?
I just don't think the Cubs are going to go get him.
Just no confidence.
I think they would. I like him as a player. Yeah, I honestly would love the Cubs to get Trey Turner. To me, it's like, okay, if he wants that big of a deal, then why don't you just pay Correa? You know what I mean? And that's because he's mainly because he's younger and he's just as good as him and Trey Turner are like essentially like the same guy, except one's younger by a little bit. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like maybe there is some likelihood. I mean, DraftKings has him +750 to be taken by the Cubs. So,
wait a minute.
You can actually place that bet, but you know, I don't know.
So that means if you bet 100, how does 750 +750 work? Explain this to me.
$100 on a bet at +750, I believe you would win $750 if I'm mathing correctly.
Yeah, that's part of it I don't understand. I
have to put the dollar amount in the little box, and then I can tell you.
And then it tells you. You just let the computer do it. You let the calculator work.
Says you win $750. There you go, math. There you go. So you walk away with $850. So
you have to bet $100 to win $750.
Yes, and then you would eventually have $850 because you get your $100 back if it actually
happens. Like a pretty good deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So that means it's not super likely.
Right. We'll see. Okay. So. I guess are we doing the back half now?
Yeah, no. Cody, give your 6 through 10.
Okay, so I kind of read my list wrong. Let me just do it. I did the right section of it, but I didn't read the correct order. All right, so I went 1, Archie Bradley, Dansby Swanson number 2, Cody Bellinger 3, and then Trey Turner number 4, and number 5, Xander Bogaerts. That's why Trey Turner wasn't on my freaking list, because I just forgot to put his name there. I was actually moving guys around, and I forgot to copy and paste. So
okay. That was right. Now you're going to go 6, okay. 7,
so the, eight, now, nine, 10. So I had Xander Bogaerts 5. And you know, honestly, you could switch Xander Bogaerts or with Carlos Correa either way. Like, maybe Bogaerts has a higher possibility because – it seems like the Cubs could maybe get him on a shorter term deal in terms of years, at least from what I've read. So maybe, you know, I think those two are neck and neck in terms of like the possibility. So whatever. After that, I have Abreu at 7, Kiermaier at 8, Josh Bell at 9, and Drew Smyly at 10. Now, I think Drew Smyly is going to be a Cub. Like, it honestly wouldn't, like, I don't think that's a surprise to me. Like, they've said they want to bring the guy back. He was really solid for them. Would have had even better numbers if he wasn't hurt. Hell, they probably would have been able to trade him then. But everything shows that he wants to be here. So, you know, like, I think that's going to happen. I put Josh Bell ahead of Jose Abreu just because I think I did it more so just because that's who I think I want more, to be honest with you. Switch hitter. And, you know, he's younger. I just think there's more – you can get more value out of that. But, I mean, the only way that I see Abreu more so than Bell is just because of short-term years. So, I mean, I don't know. And then Kiermaier. Sorry. Sorry.
You got it.
Obviously, they need center field help, and he makes the most sense at center field for defense versatilities, all that stuff. I don't know. I do think Drew Smyly will definitely be a Cub. If there's one that I would say that's absolutely going to be a Cub, I would say is Drew Smyly. But I think that Bell, Abreu, and Kiermaier, two of those three will also be Cubs. I just don't know of the two first basemen which one will be it, but I'm fairly confident that one of those two first basemen will be Cubs. And if the Dodgers hang on to Bellinger, then Kiermaier is definitely going to be a Cub.
Did you see Colada's comment? Because I was sitting here wondering. I wonder what his 1 through 10 would look like. Who he really believes. And he goes, Ortega, Schwindel, Higgins, Rivas, Swanson.
I don't understand the hate for Dansby Swanson. Like, I
no,
get it.
I don't either. I get it. I'd be happy if he was the guy, especially if he was the guy at short and they went big and got Glasnow and Senga and, you know, whatever. As long as the other moves are big going with them. If he's the only big move, then I'm a little disappointed in the offseason. Right. But if you get him at short and you add guys like Bellinger or Bell or Abreu and you fill out your roster more because your shortstop is good, but maybe not as highly thought of as Turner or Bogart.
The only way that I would be upset about getting Dansby Swanson is if they sign him to like a 7 or 8 year deal.
Yeah.
That's the only way that I would be upset about it. Now, if you get him, if you have to pay him at a higher AAV, but you're getting him at like a 5 or 6 year deal, then fine, whatever. Yeah. Like, at least you're getting a really good defensive player, and he's coming off his best offensive season of his career. And I know that is like huge Jason Hayward vibes because he also came from Atlanta or played at Atlanta once, and he too was coming off his best offensive season of his career when he came to the Cubs. Like, I totally get it. Totally get it. But you're getting him at a pretty young age. Like, it's the same idea. Is like you're getting him entering his prime and you're hoping that he takes that next step, which means that if you did get him, you'd probably get him with some opt-outs in that contract. So you're hoping that he would play better than he did with the Braves. And again, he's already won a championship. He brings like experience of winning a championship. Like, there's a lot of things to like about the guy. Like, I just don't understand why everyone just is like completely out on the guy. Like, I agree, Bogarts, Turner, and Correa are definitely a better player than him, but it's not a complete loss. You don't lose the offseason if you get Dansby Swanson. He's a really good baseball player. So that's just my 2 cents. I know everyone in the chat's going to disagree with that, but like, he's better than having Nick Madrigal over at second base for however many games, if he can even stay on the field. So I'm done. Go ahead.
What is that, Cody? What are you drinking over there?
I'm drinking an Alani energy drink because I'm going to go to the gym after this.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
As if the show wasn't giving you enough juice.
Yeah, stay active, my friends. Stay active.
I need to go to the gym to sweat out like all of the sends I made yesterday.
All right, Ryan, give us your sixth here. In the 6 through 10, starting with 6.
All right. So my 6 is Kodai Senga. I guess he probably would have been a little higher on my confidence like over the weekend. But like today, seeing some of the things flowing around on there, the confidence is a little bit lower. Again, I don't think the Cubs are out on him at all. And I don't think that they are going to just leave the Kodai Senga sweepstakes. I think they have a good relationship with him and with his agents and would love to have him here. So as far as confidence, I'm not as confident they'll sign him, but I think they'll be in there till the end. Then I move up to Carlos Correa. He is, again, I don't have Turner even on my board just because of all the rumors that have come out. I don't think Trey Turner is going to be a Cub. But I had the other two a little bit lower. Correa is the highest ranked shortstop on there. I still think he's of the four. Again, if I'm the Cubs and I'm in control of the Cubs, he would be at the top of my wish list. I guess you got to see what the contract that he's looking for is, because we know the Cubs aren't happy about I don't love the idea of giving out a big long contract, but I do think that if any one of those guys is worth it, it's probably Carlos Correa to me. But he's number 7. Kevin Kiermaier, number 8 for me. We know pretty much everything Cody said as well. You know, Cubs need center field help. Kiermaier is going to be on the market. He was hurt last year, but he is a good defender when he has been healthy. Maybe the bat shows up a little bit enough to be at least average, league average hitter. But the defense, it feels like, is what you're getting Kevin Kiermaier for. especially in center field, and the Cubs ranked last in defensive run saved at center field among all 30 major league teams. They need to step it up in that department. And I think Kiermaier, as long as he's healthy, would provide a good glove for that. And then rounding out Jose Abreu, number nine. I think the Cubs want him. I think they're interested in him. I think their interest is mutual, and he fits in well. And, you know, Bruce Levine's been on it. He's been on it all since the offseason started. The Cubs want Jose Abreu. And, you know, that's, again, it won't be – you're not breaking the bank for him. You're not giving him a long-term deal. But I think he'd fit in well, especially if they bring up Matt Mervis for next season. Like, I think they would – plug in well together. That DH spot helps with that as well. So I think if any first baseman is going to be signed by the Cubs, I think their number one would be Jose Abreu, and you just kind of see how that plays out. Number 10, Drew Smyly. He wants to be back. We pretty much know the Cubs want him to be back. It's not going to be, again, probably not another crazy long-term deal. Not going to be breaking the bank for him. He fit in well here. He pitched well in here while he was healthy. I just think that the match makes sense. And, you know, you're not going to be counting on him next year to be anything more than, like, your fourth or fifth starter. And I think he would fit in well there. So, yeah, number 10, I think – honestly, I think it's only a matter of time till Drew Smyly is re-signed. Like, he is my number 10 because I don't think he's going anywhere else. I think he's staying in Chicago. But, yeah, that's free agency for you. Anything can happen. But those are my top 10.
Very good list. I like both your lists. Mine's going to be less impressive but just as interesting, and it's coming up after a couple moments talking about our partners. By the way, Michael Kolosman saying, hey, the lighting changes at Wrigley, they have cost more than they expected, and that's going to impact – he's saying impact their signing of free agents. Ah, Michael, no. Those are new LED lights. Those are saving Tom Ricketts money. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help you find energy saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. It can be done in person or virtually and lasts approximately 2 hours. Then within 3 to 4 weeks, customers receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. So don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. That is comed.com/poweringbiz. And if you're ready to sign up for a facility assessment, you can also call them at 1-855-433-2700 during normal business hours to speak with a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative. You can also email them at businessee@comed.com or request an assessment online at their website, comed.com/facility assessment. Seems like a good idea. Listen, yeah. The Cubs wouldn't be putting in energy efficient lights if it wasn't going to save money in the long run.
Absolutely.
They had a dark ballpark for a long time. Now they're going to have better lights, cheaper lights, and they're going to save on their energy bill.
Absolutely. You know, Ryan was talking about Shady Rays earlier. If you get your Shady Rays,
you can put your sunglasses on when you lose all your bets like I did last night. Mm-hmm. Okay. That way to hide you can hide your pain from looking at your bet slips that did not cash on DraftKings. Yeah. All right.
Painful stuff from the Chicago Bulls last night. I'm not over it. But I would assume is going to be on the Bulls show today. So you guys should go watch it.
So
you could go on DraftKings. Like I've said, NBA fans, the wait is over. Basketball is back. So tip off the season with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
New customers can make any $5 NBA Moneyline bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Check this out. In addition to usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings up to 100% with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, opt in, and place a stepped-up same-game parlay today. With payouts bigger than ever, DraftKings Sportsbook is where I go to bet on the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code CHGO. Make any $5 bet this week and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details in the YouTube or podcast description.
That said, Drake minus 12 and Maine plus 20 and a half parlay on DraftKings today. We got some teenagers dribbling some basketballs tonight, and I like those two schools. Maine going up against Boston College, who stinks, couldn't even cover against Detroit Mercy. And then Drake, they're going up against a really young team that has a bunch of new guys that are trying to gel. The Drake is favored to win the Missouri Valley this year. 12-point favorites, that's it. Feed me the Bulldogs. Let's go.
Yeah.
If I could bet Illinois against Monmouth tonight, I would, but I can't unless I go to a book, which – eventually, I will be able to whenever the one at Wrigley is finally built.
Cody's the only person I know who bets on Detroit Mercy games.
Yeah.
I'm fading Boston College all season now after that game. So,
All right. Here's my much awaited 6 through 10. And I will admit that I blew it. I forgot Drew Smiley. I put my list in first. Then you guys followed up. Like you guys took like 2 hours to follow up my list that was made public on our Slack channel. And I forgot Drew Smiley. So if Drew Smiley, if and when he signs with the Cubs, I'm out of this because you guys are both going to get like 10 points. So I'm pretty much done before it starts, unless somehow Drew Smiley is swept away by a hot offer from the Cardinals.
There you go. Well, that's what I'm saying. Me and Cody both have him at 10. So for some reason,
you guys are riding high. He doesn't.
That's 10 points right out. Mm-hmm.
So. It's a big factor. So I went Glass now at 6 just because I would like to see it happen in the next 48 hours. I just think he'd be a great fit on the team. I'm happy to do it for 2 years. I don't think Thompson and Morrell would be too much, especially if, let's say, the 2 years had a third-year option on it, team option on it. Then I think you're really talking about locking down a guy coming off Tommy John, sure, but it's just not the same surgery that it used to be. I put Carlos Correa at 7. It's probably very high and very optimistic, but I do think they're going to get one of the shortstops. And I think that's the guy that if they had their choice, they would get. Whether or not the contract is going to line up, I don't know, but I'm trying to stay positive and say Correa 7. Senga 8. I'm Morosi's list didn't have it today as one of the 5 teams that he's talking to. I just think where there's smoke, there's fire there. And I do think the Cubs are interested. I know a lot of other teams are. I think Saya being here already and talking to him certainly doesn't hurt. And if the Cubs are willing to give the money, and again, I don't think their goal is to give up prospects. So if they don't have to give up prospects, I think they'd rather pay, which is, it shows you how they landed Saya last year. They'd rather spend, what do they say, sensibly, than they would trading away the prospects that they just tried to pile up. I have Abreu at 9. I don't know if I believe it. I don't know if I believe it or not. But that's where I have my – I think he's at least going to consider the Cubs. And I went Kiermaier 10 because I think that makes more sense than Bellinger just because they don't have to give up as much. He's a name we've heard for a long time. And he's not a guy that would block anybody in the outfield. He'd be there. Yeah. He'd be a nice fit. He would make the team better for the next couple of years. And you wouldn't have to make a major investment if you're going to spend your money on someone like Correa and or make those investments on Glasnow, Senga, whoever it might be, then Kiermaier makes sense as a moderate investment at center field.
Yeah, that's where I was at too. And that's why, like, I think we've all kind of had like one of the shortstops and one of the center fielders higher on the list. And then like some of like the second or third options lower. Like I had Bellinger, Swanson and Bogaerts a little lower on the list, but I had Kiermaier and Correa higher because like, I do think those would be the top choices in my opinion. But then like you get lower, like, oh, they don't get either of those guys, but you do want some of these other guys still on the board because they also make sense too. You don't want them all high because they're not going to sign all of them, but you had to like sprinkle them around somewhere just to get some points.
Yeah, don't expect choice A to be coming in for the Cubs at outfield, first base, catcher, starting pitcher, shortstop. you just hope, in reality, you're hoping they get their first choice at one of those positions, and then the others filter in nicely. Like, you still hope they get good players, but if they're going to fill a major need at one position, I hope it's shortstop.
Yeah. I'm going to take a hit by not having Senga in my list, but
maybe
we'll see.
Maybe. I don't know. Like I said, I've got him at eight, but I could have put him at five.
I should have put him in there in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
But whatever. I
just like there's nothing to give up other than money.
I just think that there's more likelihood that the Cubs sign Abreu or Josh Bell more so than Senga, I guess. And that's why it kind of took the spot. But who knows? All I know is that I'm with you. They got to get a shortstop. One of the four. I don't care. And if I have to come on here every day and stand all four of them, all the people who are like, I don't want Correa because he was on the cheating Astros. I don't care. He should be a Cub if he's the last shortstop on the market. All the people who don't want Swanson because apparently he's the shortstop version of Jason Hayward. I don't care. I don't care. We don't know how things are going to play out. And he's better than Nick Madrigal. I'm sorry, Ryan. It's the facts. It's the facts. Feed me someone who can play elite defense up the middle with Nico Horner for the next 5 to 6 years at least, and then give me the rest after that. We need one of those four. I don't care who. Give me one. Thank you.
By the way, if you could get Glasnow for Keegan Thompson and Madrigal instead of Morel, now I'm totally in on that deal for sure. We're going to talk more about this probably tomorrow. If something big happens this afternoon or tonight, we'll have another emergency podcast. We'll be right back here doing it again. Cody will be sweating college basketball while he's talking baseball. Greg Huss is going to join us, prospect expert, tomorrow. Corey Friedman's going to be in studio. Hopefully we've got a Cubs deal to talk about. And that's what we're hoping for, right?
Yeah, I mean, something, right? Hours. Just something to happen.
Something, that's anything.
That's what we want. just something that's something that's not speculation. Something that actually happened that we can dig into. Like that's what I'm looking forward to. And if it's a pitcher, maybe we could tell Brendan to hop on, and he can walk us through all his Statcast things that we don't understand.
No, just graphics and all kinds of heat maps and stuff that I just. Confuse me.
Exactly.
All right. So Huss and Friedman tomorrow, looking forward to it. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top rated sports book. Make sure you use the code CHGO when you sign up and download that app. And we will see you back here either with breaking news or tomorrow for more Cub offseason talk. Until then, fly the W.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.